Good morning. My name is Michael McCusker. Donald Trump is once again calling for insurrection to keep himself out of jail. If I were ever to have a possibility of interviewing Donald Trump, I would most likely respond to an old cliche: shoot first, ask questions later. Or at least a punch in the nose, the all-American response to villainy, which I am certain disqualifies me for any plausible opportunity to be within 1,000 miles of the despicable cretin. As a community public radio mouthpiece, I do try to disquiet my disgust and distrust of right-wing clamor. I grew up in the 1950s amidst the hogwash of Joseph McCarthy, the Dulles brothers, the anti-communist blacklists, and the clamorous assorted Red Scares that purpled my adolescence. That stuff was the general menu of AM radio. FM was considered sniffily left-wing and stiffly classic in its repertoire. Not at all open and non-commercial like our own KMUN, whose 40th radio birthday is April 17th. I would like to start this program with something that Trump inspired me to reread again. I call it The Propaganda of the Deed. A little history, at least through my filter of right-wing politics in the USA. And a quote by Adolf Hitler from Mein Kampf: rebellion is a duty when the nation is being led to destruction, quote unquote. Out of chaos came the order, before Oklahoma City, before Weaver and Waco. The order undertook to start the revolution to remake boisterous, heterogeneous, and perverse America into an early Nazi Germany. Its members regarded themselves as Aryan warriors, dragons of God, and they practiced what they called the propaganda of the deed. They robbed, burned, and murdered until they were killed or captured by agents of the government they aspired to overthrow, which they named ZOG, the Zionist Occupation Government, because, they claimed, it was controlled along with the nation's wealth and commerce by communist Jews. They were, in their own comic book mythology, spearheads of the white revolutionary army, which would eliminate Jews, Negroes, and homosexuals, and their brief, bloody rampage was definitive, if premature, revelation of a new strategy of domestic violence by the extreme right wing. The order, which considered itself a nativist SS corps, showed what a small group of terrorists can do to a society laid open to their violence. In particular, it raised the specter of a fanatical group armed with nuclear weapon. As the diverse populations of the world move increasingly toward a global civilization, elements in every society resist and clamor violently for separation and for racial and cultural purification. In country after country, fanatically reactionary individuals and groups have assumed the power that brutality and terrorism bestow. The order dramatically reflected the resurgence of anti-Semitism, racial hatred, and religious fratricide that is troubling most of the world. The ancient and atrocious issue of white supremacy and dominance, the persecution of other races and of religions that are not puritanically Christian, is a perennial theme of American politics. Radical, racist, and ultra-nationalist groups receive attention far out of proportion to their numbers, primarily as a result of the Oklahoma City bombing on April 19, 1995. It is the far right that now talks of revolution, sets up paramilitary and wilderness survival training camps, and patterns its concepts and plans for white revolt on a fictional account of Aryan revolution in the 1990s, the Turner Diaries, that was written by a disaffected Oregon State University physics teacher. It might appear contradictory for adherents of the far right to plan the overthrow of a generally conservative and white male-dominated government that it accuses of seizing power from the people. But these people are serious, right-wing militia groups that are dedicated to overthrowing Zog have sprung up in as many as 47 states in the past several years. The common thread that unites right-wing hate groups, quote, is an extreme hatred for the federal government, according to Klan Watch director Danny Welch. Members of the radical right see a historic juncture in which their agenda, grounded in a hatred for the federal government and vehement opposition to taxes and gun control, with race as an important but less conspicuous thread, has the potential to resonate with a large portion of the American public, Peter Applebaum wrote for the New York Times. To a degree unusual in the history of the radical right, the obsessions of these extremists are overlapping with elements of the nation's mainstream culture. Welch agrees with Applewhite. He thinks white supremacists are threatened by how much mainstream citizens seem to be voicing the same thing. They feel this is their time. It's their time to make hay, quote, unquote. The real danger is the cross-fertilization going on between groups that are not racist and anti-Semitic and those that are, Steve Gardner of the Portland-based Coalition for Human Dignity said. Tom Metzger, once head of the White Aryan Resistance, who was fined into virtual bankruptcy for his influence in the murder of a Nigerian national in Portland several years ago, said a few days after the Oklahoma bombing in 1995, I have told people for years, at least since 1984, when the order was declared war on the central government of the United States, that the government of this country, what we call the criminals, had better start listening to the dispossessed white people, the dispossessed majority, unquote. The rapid right fixates on Waco. 2 years to the day federal officials obliterated the Branch Davidian religious sect, killing more than 80, many of them children. Timothy McVeigh bombed the Alfred Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, which killed 167, many of them children. Metzger was executed. The day of the Oklahoma bombing, white supremacist Richard Wayne Snell was executed for murder in Arkansas. Look over your shoulder. Justice is coming, he said before he died. The date of the Oklahoma City bombing, April 19, 1995, has been much discussed for its Waco connection, but it was also the 220th anniversary of the beginning of the American Revolution in 1775, which might also have inspired the bomb heard round the world. Whatever its sympathies or intentions, whether Zog or Magog, the government so bitterly hated by the radical right would have serious problems mounting either an armed coup or holy war against the society, despite the claims of extremists. And although many top officials openly and often vigorously sympathize with the white supremacists, a great many other officials of the large pluralistic government apparatus are blacks and Jews, not to mention women, liberals, homosexuals, and other undesirables who are on the far right's menu of removal. Purging all of these people would entail the largest bloodbath since the Civil War and would rival Stalin's massive pogroms of the 1930s and late 1940s. The fanatical fringe has no patience with such subtleties. Its purpose is to cleanse, quote-unquote, the society in the same manner the Nazis accomplished in Germany and much of Europe. The far right feels betrayed by conservatives in powerful political positions. Their wild expectations of mass and swift removal of Jews, blacks, and homosexuals that were inspired by the Reagan era and rekindled with the so-called Republican Revolution of 1994 has not occurred, and they feel identical contempt for the new right that the new left once felt for old liberals. in somewhat the manner that the radical left punished vacillating liberals during the Vietnam era, the far right flails at conventional conservatives with religious exhortation and genocidal rhetoric. White supremacist groups are small and generally scattered. But as Time magazine once said, although the whole Nazi cult is politically impotent, its capacity for stirring hatred and creating violence is high. The Order was a volatile collection of impatient individuals from several white supremacy groups who were tired of inactive dogma. They wanted to ignite the race-religious war their peers only talked about, the propaganda of the deed. Terrorism is a function of weakness, frustration, and fervor, Erwin Suwall of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith said of the chaos committed by the Order. And our friends in the Klans and the neo-Nazi groups were very weak, very frustrated, and very fervid. We anticipated the country would take a hit, perhaps several hits. By the time the Order was brought to ground in late 1984 with its leader dead and the rest imprisoned or hiding, its Aryan warriors and associated sympathizers from other white supremacist groups had murdered blacks, Jews, and policemen in several states, attacked synagogues and churches, robbed banks and armored cars, and a large supply of cyanide was discovered at one of the Order's hideouts, enough to poison a city. The only complaint from the far right had about the Order was that it started too soon. It might not be altogether surprising that these groups who wish to seize control of the country are thinking of beginning with the Pacific Northwest, a direct contrast to a vision of the region as ecotopia, a political, multicultural, and environmental harmony. Fostered by the leader of the Idaho-based Aryan Nations, the plan has been to make the Northwest an Aryan homeland. This would roughly encompass an area stretching from the Tehachapi Mountains of Central California north to Homer, Alaska, although Canada might be allowed to keep British Columbia, and from the Pacific Ocean to the Rocky Mountains. The Pacific Northwest is an attractive area for whites' only civilization for a number of reasons. Among them, its underdevelopment and relatively sparse and scattered population, which is overwhelmingly white and, with notable exceptions, generally conservative. Eastern Washington and northern Idaho in particular are one of the corners of the nation where the nuts roll, L.J. Davis wrote in a Harper's Magazine story about the Order's founder, Robert Matthews, who died in a celebrated shootout with federal agents on Whidbey Island in Puget Sound in December 1984. Here, a tolerance for the more baroque forms of extremist policies is not merely commonplace. It is an hallowed tradition, Davis wrote. The idea of an Aryan homeland has triggered a migration to the Pacific Northwest, Tom Rice wrote in the New York Times in late May 1995. Many Americans are aware of the militarists in the area, mostly because of the 1992 shootout between federal officials and the family of a white supremacist, Randy Weaver, in Ruby Ridge, Idaho. But now, the decade-old organized effort to get hate groups from around the country to settle in the new white bastion has been showing results. A Portland group that monitors hate groups, Coalition for Human Dignity, reports that a steady stream of hardcore racists have resettled to Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Montana. There is considerable local distance to the white supremacy migration into the Northwest. In 1986, outraged officials and residents of Kootenai County, Idaho, where Butler relocated his Aryan Nations from Southern California in 1978, sent a letter to virtually every county and city government in the states of Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming, about 1,000 in all, requesting that they send a message of absolute clarity to the Aryan Nations, Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, and other hate groups that their racist, supremacist, and prejudicial beliefs are contrary to those embraced by the people of the Northwest and their governments. It was asked that cities and counties in the region pass resolutions that uphold the U.S. Constitution, and in particular the 13th Amendment, which prohibits slavery and establishes citizenship, and the 14th Amendment, which ensures that, quote, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, or deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law. Oregon coastal counties and towns such as Clatsop County, Seaside, and Astoria responded at the time by passing the requested resolution. Cannon Beach took the position that it was not city business, but each commissioner recorded personal opposition to the Aryan Nations. Others like Tillamook County and the city of Warrenton chose to not discuss the resolution. The Warrenton city manager said at the time, "We do not get into those things." He might have had a point. The resolution was little more than symbolic grasping of a crucifix or wearing garlic to ward off vampires and werewolves. A few of the councils or commissions ignored the resolution, probably because of significant local sympathy for the white homeland idea. At any rate, it was not expected then or now that any of the region's governments would voluntarily relinquish their authority or power. The white supremacists regard local authority with the same contempt they do Zog, and would as soon wage holy war and seize the Northwest by force if they ever got the chance. The Northwest is a fertile nursery for savage philosophies and grim visions. The Aryan Nations in Idaho has received the most attention and is one of the largest neo-Nazi operations in America, with chapters in 20 states and ties to the wide array of skinhead militia and supremacist groups. The Aryan Nations, its formal name is Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations, quote unquote, was founded in the 1940s and has been established since 1978 in Idaho. It is anti-Jew, anti-Catholic, anti-black, anti-Hispanic, anti-homosexual, and anti-communist. Its members are trained and urged to commit acts of violence. The Aryan Nations spawned the order, though Butler says his errant archangel, Matthews, struck too soon. Several years ago, a series of meetings at Hayden Lake were held to allegedly plot bombing of the Alfred Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City that was chillingly similar to the April 1995 explosion that killed 167. A schism between Butler and longtime apostle Keith Gilbert launched a breakaway sect, the Restored Church of Jesus Christ Aryan Nations, which is headquartered in Post Falls, Idaho. Its national plan is to kill all blacks. Indigenous to the Northwest is the Posse Comitatus, which was started in Portland in 1969, with the core belief that the highest legal authority is county sheriff. A loosely affiliated organization that opposes income tax and gun control laws and claims Jews control the federal government, the Posse inspired the recent growth of gun-toting anti-government militias throughout the country. Oregon Posse members held off police at a potato packing plant in Springfield in 1976 and were suspected but never charged with the murderous plot against Portland judges in 1985. A national comitatus leader was killed in a shootout with police and FBI agents in Arkansas in 1983 after he earlier killed two U.S. Marshals. Perhaps the most notorious standoff by a posse member was Weaver's 1992, during which his wife and son were killed. Here in the Northwest, the militias pose a much bigger problem than Aryan Nations, said Floyd Cochran, former frontman for Aryan Nations, who has toured the nation, publicly recanting his former white supremacism. I am not free of bigoted thoughts, he says, and warning that the whole radical right wing is on the rise. Michigan has the strongest militia in the country, Cochran says. Montana and Idaho host the strongest militias in the Northwest. Oregon's militia force is weak but growing. Economic upheaval makes rural Oregon a primary recruiting ground for the militia and other hate groups, and also fertile for the Oregon Citizens Alliance, which electorally targeted gays, lesbians, as non-citizens. Militia organizers claim 300 members in Marion and Polk counties, and also groups in the central and southern parts of the state. There are few members in Portland, a militia in Lane City. The Ku Klux Klan and the American Nazi Party have long had strong influence in the region. The KKK was founded after the Civil War to rob and murder blacks and prevent them from benefiting from their release from slavery. It has had periods of great influence, most notably in the 1920s, when it was nationally powerful, particularly in the South and the Northwest. The KKK was especially popular in Oregon during the 1920s. It helped elect a governor in 1922 and influenced both houses of the state legislature. Most of the Oregon KKK's wrath was focused on Jews, Catholics, and aliens, primarily Chinese and Japanese immigrants. Homosexuals were deep in the closet and escaped the KKK's attention at the time. There was little activity against blacks because they were fewer in Oregon then than furtive or fugitive gays. Although sued into virtual bankruptcy a few years ago in recompense for the murder of a young black man, the KKK has many separate and sometimes competing organizations nationwide. The American Nazi Party is a nativist offshoot of the original National Socialist Party that was started in Germany in 1919. It is perhaps the most virulent of the white supremacist groups and openly preaches a domestic sequel to the Holocaust of World War II that eliminated millions of Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, mental, physically handicapped, and political deviants. American Nazis have committed many acts of violence, including murder. There are also smaller ad hoc groups, locally grown and primarily part of the youthful nihilistic rebellion, that openly approve of fascist ideology. A Portland example, the New Order Legion was organized as the moderate voice of fascism, opposed to violence and terrorism, except in specific instances, as well as to non-whites, feminism, abortion, homosexuality, and Khazars, a Turkish tribe that allegedly infiltrated European Judaism several centuries ago, and whose members, Aryan anti-Semitists, say claim to be Jews. The fact that there are now paramilitary groups around the country reflects intense alienation linked to paranoid theories of history, which are intensified by millennialism, futurist Alvin Toffler said in an interview. He sees the proliferation of political and religious sects, some of them armed with weapons of mass destruction that go far beyond fertilizer bombs, quote unquote. He is also concerned about such terrifying pieces to the future as possible development of race-specific weaponry able to zero in on ethnically linked characteristics and targets those who carry them, and competing eugenic strategies made possible by the biological revolution. Though it is necessary to realize that white supremacist ferocity is fueled by fear and deep inferiority, it would be a grave mistake to underestimate their vicious racism and to believe they have any other vision than vengeance. If you are black, Hispanic, Jewish, or even Catholic, or if you are married or in any other way associated with them, if you are homosexual, multicultural, physically or mentally handicapped, or if you publicly disagree that the United States is a white Christian nation, or criticize the rapid racism and anti-Semitism that is the cornerstone of that faith, these people mean to do you harm, to kill you, or remove you. This is Michael McCusker. Dylan Hauser Schalk is this program's engineer. If you are looking for the right to vote, you won't find it in the United States Constitution or the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights recognizes the core rights of citizens in a democracy, including freedom of religion, speech, press, and assembly. It then recognizes several insurance policies against an abuse of government that will attempt to limit these liberties, weapons, the privacy of houses and personal information, protections against false criminal prosecution or repressive civil trials, and limits on excessive punishments by the government. But the framers of the Constitution never mentioned a right to vote. They didn't forget. They intentionally left it out. To put it most simply, the founders did not trust ordinary citizens to endorse the rights of others. They were creating a radical experiment in self-government paired with the protection of individual rights that are often resented by the majority. As a result, they did not lay out an inherent right to vote because they feared rule by the masses would mean the destruction of, not better protection for, all the other rights the Constitution and Bill of Rights uphold. Instead, they highlighted other core rights over the vote, creating a tension that remains today. And that was by the late Robert Blake, formerly of Ocean Park, Washington. April's Fool is the person who believes that repression represents liberty, and the greater fool is one who believes in a deity in which only a single skin color and basically Protestant Christian religion are favored by a universal deity. April 22nd is KMUN's 40th birthday bash at the world-famous Astor Elks